Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 53 of the O Woman Podcast. Today's episode is more of an elaboration on part of an episode that I've done previously. That was kind of an overview of your foreplay options and things that really you might not think are necessarily foreplay, but they really can be, especially depending on the intention behind them. So today I wanted to focus on the more highly sexualized aspects of foreplay and the physical aspects of foreplay, because there's also emotional and verbal types of foreplay, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. So what I mean by the more highly sexual or physical aspects of foreplay are the things that would be very obviously sexual, whether or not the circumstance seemed to be that way. So, for example, touching someone's boob is going to almost always seem sexual, or touching someone's crotch region is going to almost always be sexual. So that's a really sexual type of foreplay. But that's kind of the least of the foreplay options, really, because you're more limited. And then oftentimes that'll speed along the foreplay, too, because you're not quite so slowly working towards the big finale. But there's also so many other types of physical touching and physical communication interaction that you can do that isn't necessarily sexual, but because of the way in which you do it, gradually becomes sexual over time, or it becomes clear to you and your partner that it's kind of leaning that way. But it's not really an in-your-face kind of sexual thing. And I mentioned this in the previous episode that I did about just the overview of foreplay, but sometimes I feel like people consider foreplay to begin when the very clearly, obviously sexual stuff begins. And it doesn't have to begin then. And to think that it begins then is kind of a bad idea, because it really limits your other options, your other ideas for connecting and communicating. Because let's face it, really what foreplay is about getting the other person, or getting both of you, in the mood to be sexually involved. And in many cases, if you're in a long-term partnership or any sort of partnership, a lot of it is an emotional connection and a closeness and a nearness and potentially a love connection. So I wanted to share some other options if you kind of forgotten a little bit about how to bring up some new mojo in the relationship. These are some simple, obvious things that you do just kind of on an everyday basis, but you can start thinking about them in a more date-like kind of way, a more sexual kind of way, and a more connected emotional kind of way. So on the most basic level, being physically close to the other person can always be a good beginning to foreplay. I mean, that's one of the big things. Eventually, you're going to have to be physically close to someone if you're going to have sex with them later. But I mean physical closeness by almost a surprise physical closeness, and so in a way that makes the other person really aware of you being physically near. Because if you're in a partnership, you're probably near this person all the time. And so it depends on the manner in which you're near this person. Being close to them in a place that they're not used to you being close to them. So, for example, your partner's washing dishes or something like that. It's probably rare that you're standing hip to hip with this person when they're washing dishes. So a way that kind of almost shocks them out of the normalcy of, you know, being with each other, is a good thing. So something as simple as going and standing right next to that person, you know, maybe facing the same direction as them, maybe facing the opposite direction, making sure that your hips are touching, leaning up against each other a little bit and looking at each other and having a conversation. That kind of starts the ball rolling in a really simple way and in a really considerate way, because the other person's busy, which is often is the case when sex becomes an idea, is the other person's doing something, because everybody's always doing something. It kind of slows down their reaction to, hey, I'm busy, I can't do anything. You know, it makes them think, oh, you're here. I didn't forget about you, but I'm noticing you in a new way now. And then this seems like a fifth grade option, but it isn't. Holding each other's hands. This is a really great connection, probably because it's one of the first things that we think to do with our loved ones when we're little, you know, hugging and holding hands. So I kind of want to put those together. Usually, you know, you'll hug the person you care about before they leave for the day or, you know, or something like that. But how often do you hug them just kind of spontaneously? Probably not that often. It's probably become just part of the pattern of life to not hug unless there's an occasion for it. So the big thing that I'm trying to stress is doing physical things that are kind of out of place in your world, at least usually. They're not part of the pattern. It really makes the other person notice and go, oh, something new is happening, which leads to excitement, which is easily funneled into sexual excitement. So I encourage you to think of a time when you aren't usually going to hold your partner's hand or the person that you're with's hand, and do it. Do it in the grocery store. That might seem weird, but it's something fresh. It's something new. Hug them in the middle of the day when you're having a conversation with them. Go over and give them a hug. That's happened to me a few times. Jason's done that to me sometimes, and it's always like, oh, thank you so much. It really brings you back home to the place where you really remember your connection with that person and how valuable they are and how much you love them and are attracted to them. Another thing is smelling each other. So particularly smelling each other's hair or neck or something like that. And this goes really well with a hug. So the classic dish example, walk over and you're talking to them and you're leaning up next to them, touching them a little bit when they're washing dishes. You're talking to them, you can lean over and smell their neck or, you know, breathe in their smells, which is going to make them feel nice. Every time that happens to me, I get butterflies in my stomach. It makes me think, he thinks I smell good, even though I imagine I probably don't. I'm doing chores, you know, whatever. Also, something that I really enjoy doing and having it done to me is standing behind that other person, because it's a physical contact that's a closeness, that's a nearness that isn't pushy, but it's kind of a tease, because they're really close to you, generally full body, you know, contact, but they're in a space that isn't close to the parts that you're used to interacting with, probably on a more sexual front. Especially for me, so my face, my chest, my crotch, like it's kind of, that's part being ignored. The part of me that's being noticed is the back part of me, and I just feel contact. And so that's a really nice kind of teasing physical contact, which also isn't an in-your-face kind of thing. And I also love doing it too, because it's warm, it's cozy, it feels nice. That's why I think people love spooning in bed. And I notice that oftentimes I am the big spoon. I used to be the little spoon a lot more often when Jason and I first started dating. But now I'm much more likely to be the big spoon, which is fine with me. I love that full body contact. It feels really nice, and it makes me feel a little bit less constricted, you know, like when you're laying in bed, than when you're in the fetal position and you have someone wrapped around you. So try that. Just go up to the person that you love or are in a relationship or care about or spending time with, you know, in a sexual way, and stand behind them. And you could carry on a conversation over their shoulder. You could say nothing. You could simply put your hands on their hips or on their shoulders or nowhere and just see what happens. And I pretty much guarantee you they're going to respond positively, and it's going to change the pace of what they're doing, and it's going to make them stop and go, ooh, I like this. I like this. So, also related to physical sexual foreplay is just simply touching on body parts that aren't the classic sexual body parts. So, you already have a proximity and nearness to each other. You've already kind of established a sense of connection and attraction in this moment, being close to them. So, touching a part of them that isn't traditionally sexual is going to be kind of a tease. Is going to be kind of an awakening situation, because they're already, all of their nerves are focused on your closeness, if you've approached it in the right way. Hopefully they're not annoyed that you're around because they're trying to do something. But, you know, just touch them on the arms. You could rub your hands up and down their arms. You could give them like a mini arm massage. You could touch their face, just lightly. Touch their chest. Especially if you're a woman, touching a man's chest, that would be a little bit less obviously sexual than a guy touching a woman's chest. That's a little bit more obvious. Jason has chest hair, so sometimes I'll just kind of scrub his chest hair with my fingers kind of thing, in an appreciative way. And sometimes it's just a very normal, huh, this is great kind of way. And sometimes he can tell that I'm doing it in a kind of a foreplay sort of way. Related to touching, is a massage. And I've talked about this in another episode about why massages are so awesome and why I love them and why for me they're so fantastic for foreplay. So check that episode out. Go to the episode archives and look that one up. It's called A Massage is the Key to My Vagina. So look that one up. But a massage just on a smaller scale too. So if you're standing up, you're sitting down next to this person, you're not like in the prone position in bed, you know, ready to have sex. Or in a way that you've planned a massage in advance, you know, it's easy to have kind of an impromptu massage time. You can, like I said, give them like a small arm massage. I think one of the most relaxing is a head massage too. Kind of running your fingers through their hair and giving them some pressure on their scalp. It's just a really nice, relaxing thing. Also, sometimes if we're on the sofa and Jason's laying down, I'll give him like a face massage, which seems bizarre for those of you that haven't had them, but they're so relaxing. You wouldn't think that your face actually needs a massage, but it really feels like it does. I guess you make so many facial expressions throughout the day, your muscles are tired. And I make so many facial expressions, since I am just such an emotional person. And I really move my face around a lot, that it's really nice to get kind of a relaxing thing going on with the muscles in your face. So those are just a couple things that are more physical that could be done on any day and in most locations too, without it being some sort of explicitly sexual thing that is inappropriate. You could do this in front of your kids. You could do all of those things, you know, in the family room of your house. You could do them in the grocery store. You could do them out for a walk. You know, there's lots of things that are like that you can do. And you particularly see, you know, people that first kind of start dating doing this kind of stuff. Don't forget these moves that you just kind of, I feel like, intuitively know when you're first electrified by someone. Bring the electricity back and do it. You know, do it in this way. So then if we're thinking more about physical touching, but we're getting into the a little more obvious sexual stuff, depending on what sexual scenario you're trying to do with your partner, this could have been kind of foreplay stage two, or if you're just kind of going to jump in and go for it without a lot of like leading up to it foreplay, then this could be stage one. So a couple obvious things are having your partner, or if you are a woman who loves women, you touching your partner's boobs or breasts. And I always find that it's not quite as fun to just have your boobs straight up grabbed. Reach out and grab a boob. That's never as fun. I feel like most women are like, oh my God, seriously? What is the deal with the boobs? But it is really awesome to have your boobs grabbed when it's kind of a gradual thing. So you don't just go for the nipple. You kind of work your way in and you kind of gently touch them and give them a general massage or a general touching. You don't just go tweaking the nipple. That's a little too intense. But depending on your situation. Also touching a butt, and this works for men and women, and also the chest area works for men too, you know, kind of caressing their chest and stuff like that. Although it is admittedly less sensitive of an area than a woman's chest. But touching a butt. So this could be a really direct touching, like a super squeeze, or it could be kind of a caressing thing that starts at the leg and kind of follows the contour of the butt. And that's really my favorite, is because it just implies an appreciation for being touched, and I love that. So when, you know, you're just lightly touched, but following the shape of your body and appreciating, you know, the texture of your body, and then getting squeezed here and there is really nice, because it feels like he really appreciates the way you're shaped, which he should. And then kissing too. So I'm not talking about kissing lips yet. I'm talking about kissing areas that aren't totally sexual. Like, we're not moving on to oral sex quite yet in the discussion. But kissing areas that are tantalizing but not super, super sexual. So kissing your chest, kissing necks, kissing arms or stomachs or areas that are something you couldn't do in public, obviously. Although one of my friends told me a story. She was at a restaurant when she was a teenager, and someone was literally going down on his wife in the restaurant. And they had to get kicked out of the restaurant, and the police had to get called. It was the story. I was like, is that a real thing? But it was actually happening, like, in a booth, in a restaurant, where she was. And I don't know if the people were super drunk. I mean, good Lord, that is, like, the weirdest thing ever. But anyway, so you wouldn't usually kiss someone in these places, you know, in public. Maybe you kiss them on the neck in public. But the other parts of the body, you kind of have to be in a better position or in a more open position to kiss someone's stomach or kiss someone's lower back or kiss them on the butt cheek, which I think is a nice, sweet one. And then rubbing your face on different parts of their body too. Appreciating that different texture. And I mean, if you're a guy and you have either stubble or clean shaven or a beard, I think any of those facial hair options fits really well with this kind of thing, because by this point, I imagine you ladies out there are used to your male partner's, you know, face and the way it feels. And so it's not going to be a bad, shocking thing. I mean, the prickly might be hard to get used to at first, but that's a whole nother sensation that's really nice to get used to. And I'm actually going to stop the episode here today, because I have a lot more material to get through, and we've already used, you know, a good portion of time. So I'm going to do a second episode on this one, on physical kind of sexual foreplay, so that I don't have to skip or jip any of the thoughts that I had to share with you guys, because I feel like this is a really good resource for spicing up your sex life in a really good, positive, connected kind of way. So I just wanted to remind you to subscribe to the O Woman podcast on iTunes. And while you're at it, try to rank the episodes, give them some stars so that iTunes recognizes the podcast as something that's real. also check out the website, owomanpodcast.com, and feel free to email me, emma@owomanpodcast.com, for any questions or comments or ideas for a show or anything like that. And check out the Facebook page too, O Woman Podcast on Facebook. As always, love talking with you guys, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.